This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Mark Klizak. Mark is the CEO of Virginia Health Services. He's going to talk to us about Virginia Health Services, some points of pride, a few things, big priorities, and a little bit more. He'll also talk to us about his background as a firefighter. We don't have a lot of that. CEOs that are also firefighters. So looking forward to visiting with Mark. Mark, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure, and thanks for having me, Scott. It's unfortunate we're not able to meet in person in October for the CEO and CFO roundtable, which I always look forward to because you put on a great event. But I'm glad to talk to you by phone. So myself, I have three kids, 14, 13, and 7, so we have a nice mix. My wife is a physical therapist by training and has a PhD in rehab science. She focuses on kids with autism and Asperger's. And we both grew up in Buffalo, New York, and then moved over to Rochester for about 10 years and recently relocated to Virginia to take this position and live in the Chesapeake area. So for myself in my career, I've had a really nice kind of swath of experiences. I was able to start in an IPA, work in some physician practices that were employed in health systems, got my nursing home administrator license, and then also was able to be a service line vice president, a hospital president, and a senior vice president for a health system in Rochester, overseeing long-term care and a large home care transition.
Thank you very much. Take a moment, Mark. Tell us about Virginia Health Services. Give us some of the background there.
So Virginia Health Services is a really unique company. It's a for-profit, privately held company that has really a great mixture of post-acute assets, and that's really what drew me to the position. So it has 7 nursing homes, a couple assisted livings, independent living. It has its own pharmacy service, rehab service, home care and hospice, and it really provides a great service, what we call on the peninsula, in Virginia, and we're looking to expand as well. And really, it's a nice company that's served the community for just over 50 years.
Does your wife ever say to you, look, Mark, I love you, but who takes over a post-acute nursing home business right in the cusp of COVID-19? Does she ever have that discussion with you?
Well, The good and the bad news is, I guess I was always in post-acute, so I left Rochester, New York on December 31st and started here January 1st. So I probably would have had COVID in Rochester or here. and so far the experience has been pretty good in Virginia. Virginia has been a very proactive state, has been very, I would say, friendly to the nursing home community. So actually, I think I'm in a pretty good position, and we all are. But yeah, there's always a lot of questions about new roles and how do you take that on with the family.
Yeah, no, and I say it somewhat jokingly, because nursing homes have obviously been one of the areas that's gotten a lot of attention this year, and a fascinating area. So how is it going? What are you seeing with COVID-19? What are you learning? And what are a couple of the big priorities you have for Virginia Health Services now?
I would say, so the experience that we've had here in Virginia, more in the southern part, is it's taken a long time to get here. So we have a lot of fatigue with the staff and with the medical staff. So while we've known about it since March, literally just up until last week is when it's finally started to come into some of the facilities. So the team is a bit exhausted from that. And now we're working through it. But again, the state's been really good with us. The top three priorities we have right now inside of the COVID piece is really being able to adapt. And when we're adapting, be able to innovate inside of adapting to all the different changes that are happening with COVID. And innovating so that we're preparing ourselves for the future, not just for today's problem. But for tomorrow's too. And then how do we grow? We at Virginia Health Services are still in a growth mode, even though it's during the COVID pandemic. And we're definitely looking to come out of this stronger and also be able to grow even further and have a bigger footprint going forward.
Well, fantastic. And talk about being a firefighter and how that prepared you for life. And what was it like being a firefighter?
That was the best. So I joined on my 18th birthday so I could do everything, because if you joined earlier, you had to be an explorer and you couldn't do absolutely everything. So I waited right to my 18th birthday, went to the fire hall, and joined. I ended up being a firefighter for 18 years in two different departments. And I was also advanced EMT intermediate, which is one step below a paramedic, for 15 years. So on both the fire truck and the ambulance side of the world. I'd say, really, and this is what I tell my staff every day, the first and foremost, you have to keep yourself safe. If you're not keeping yourself safe, you're not keeping your family safe, and you're not keeping the residents and patients and your coworkers safe also. And then there's just a whole host of other things in firefighting that are really transferable into healthcare, such as having the appropriate sense of urgency when something like this comes up, and really having clear roles and responsibilities for everybody. So the example I like to give is the engine company crew goes into the house that's on fire, but they don't just go into the house. They go into the house knowing the ladder team is going to open the roof to ventilate the house so things get better for them when they're in the crisis. Same thing has to happen with CNAs and LPNs. Everybody knowing their role and supporting each other is super important, especially during this type of time. I think we need to also, like firefighters, respond quickly to what the actual threat is, not just what the perceived threat is, but really parsing through what is the actual threat going on, and really knowing when to call for additional resources. Do you need more of the same? So do you need more nurses and more CNAs to do the same work? Or do you need someone that's specialized, like wound care nurses or people that are really good at telemedicine, to really turn the dial on the problem and have really good solutions? And lastly, what I like to do when I was training with like air packs and everything else before you go into a building, I like to say, I like to train with my eyes open so that I can do it with my eyes shut. So if we train often, and whether it be on quality initiatives or, let's say, building evacuations or whatever it might be, then we should be able to do it when the crisis hits without an issue. So I think the firefighting piece really helps prepare me for any type of issue that comes up, whether it's clinical or actual, like this COVID, or a natural disaster.
In terms of firefighting, what's the mix of adrenaline-filled versus ever truly scared? In all your years of being a firefighter, I'm sure adrenaline a lot, whenever the it goes off, a siren goes off and you're going to a fire, must be some peak of adrenaline. But how often in all those years would you say ever scared, actually scared?
I would say 1% is scared, because to do the firefighting or EMT jobs, you have to have a feeling that you're invincible. So you do get that adrenaline rush, like you mentioned. The first one is when the tone goes out to help. And the second is that you're helping somebody that you don't even know. It's just you're helping your community. The way I look at it, it's like the purest way to support your community. And there is a high that comes from just supporting your community. But once you actually start feeling that you're invincible is when you start kind of coming away from the firefighting piece. So I'd say 99% adrenaline, 1% fear.
Fantastic. We've got a couple minutes left. Any thoughts on advice that you would give leaders?
Yeah, I think that's a really great topic. And I also saw that you had that on one of your other Becker's emails, and with Steve Goldstein and another person, talking about future leaders and what their pitfalls might be. And I was thinking that one epiphany that I've recently had is that two things can actually be true at the same exact time. And if you can wrap your head around that, it helps you find the perspective of the other person that you're dealing with. So one example would be not allowing visitation. It's true that it decreases infection rates in nursing homes. It's also true that it causes a lot of anxiety and depression for the residents and the families. So trying to understand everybody's point of view can be really helpful. I think being flexible outside of your traditional role. So when I was a hospital-based nursing home administrator, I also took the opportunity to run an ambulatory surgery center that the health system owned, and I gained a lot of valuable experience from doing that. And then last thing I think is important is really realizing where you are in your particular scenario. A lot of people like to use the Wayne Gretzky scenario, and one day it kind of hit me, I'm not Wayne Gretzky in that scenario all the time. Sometimes I'm the puck. Oftentimes the regulators and the payers are the stick. So if you really understand who you are in the scenario, I think it gives you better perspective and better options than being incorrect on where you are in the scenario. So I think it's really understanding others, being flexible in your role, and realizing what your position is currently in your active scenario.
Yeah, no, I think those are all brilliant pieces of advice. The first one, that life is not binary. It's not this is right versus that's right. There's different grades of right, and both can be right, different perspectives. I think that's, you know, in today's political climate, there's so little of that, but I think you're so right on your assessment that people have to look at it as like, they're not totally wrong, I'm not totally wrong, just different perspectives. The concept of Wayne Gretzky is a brilliant one. I love what you said. The Wayne Gretzky concept is, you know, Wayne Gretzky was so great because he could always see where the puck was going to versus where the puck is. And the reality is, most of us live in our own reality. That might be good if you could do that, but most of us can't. So it's constantly trying to do at least what we're supposed to be doing and doing it great. You know, and if you have this crazy vision that Wayne Gretzky had, probably one of the greatest hockey players of all time, so be it. But to constantly put that pressure on yourself is probably a real mistake. Better to sort of see what you're at, understand your position, do what you're doing great, and live with that versus trying to do something we can't do. I mean, I know athletically I can't do those things he does. At some point, you just have to accept it, and it is what it is. Mark, great comments, great thoughts. A pleasure to visit with you today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and can't wait to get a chance to visit with you again. Thank you very much.
Same here. Thank you, Scott.